If you would turn with me to 1 Kings, chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation to make it more plain. Pastor Hill Pages. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, "When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel what Elijah had done and that he had slaughtered the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: 'May the gods also kill me if by this time tomorrow I have failed to take your life like those whom you killed.' Elijah was afraid, and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the desert, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors.'" You may be seated. If you would allow me this morning, I would like to use the topic, never, never, never quit. Never, never, never quit. And you all know me, I always like to ask questions. And I like to ask questions for you to ask yourself a question, because I feel like if you ask yourself the question, then it makes it personal for you. And I'd like to ask the question this morning, how many of you have ever started something other than a fight? Or how many of you have ever pursued something? Or how many of you have ever tried to reach a goal, but before you achieved it, you quit? As I was preparing for this sermon, that kept coming to me, you know, why is it that people give up on their lives? Why is it that people give up on their hopes? And why is it that people give up on their dreams? If you will allow me to regress just a little bit, a few weeks ago, my grandson likes to put together puzzles. And we started off buying him the puzzles with the big pieces that shows like your shapes and your colors. And he mastered that. So then we bought him puzzles where, you know, when you take all the pieces out, you could still see the pictures, and all he had to do was match the pieces to the picture, and he mastered that. And so then I had a puzzle that was for 3 years and older, and it had 26 pieces to it. And I took the puzzle down, and I took it all apart, and I said, "Put this puzzle together." And so he was smart enough to know that, you know, you put your corner pieces in first. But after putting in two or three pieces, he looked at me and he said, "I don't want this puzzle." And I explained to him, I'm like, "Yes, you do want this puzzle. You can do these over here." I said, "But this is what you need to do." And I showed him how to match up the colors. And I showed him how to look for the different shapes. And then when the puzzle was finished, we went over the puzzle so that he would have a picture in mind of what it looked like. Yeah. And so now when he comes over, he no longer wants to play with the puzzle that's got the 9 pieces. Uh-huh. Now he can put together the more complicated puzzle because now he feels a sense of accomplishment. Yeah. Yeah. And stay with me this morning, because we're talking about starting and quitting. And when I was studying for the sermon on this week, I read this little clip. And it said that a fox was walking along and that it came across a tree that had some cherries on it. And he wanted some of the cherries off the tree, but the cherries was on the branch that was very high up. And it said he began to jump and jump and jump and jump to try to get the cherries off the tree. He couldn't reach it, so eventually he gave up. And he said, "I didn't want them anyway." He said, "And they probably taste bad." I told you two different stories. But the thing that, even though the stories about the fox was untrue, the story about my grandson was true. But the two stories have something in common. Both stories show how we as humans sometimes react in life when a task becomes challenging. Why is it that sometimes when we go through life, We find ourselves going so far to reach our goals. We find ourselves going so far to accomplish our hopes and our dreams. And then we get to a point sometimes when it becomes difficult, we quit. You have churches who get new pastors who may be preaching the word of God. You get churches who get a minister of music, Tony, and he can play and do all that you do. The choir fills up and everybody has a zeal for God. They're excited about God. There's a powerful move of God. Everybody's excited about God. The church is full. But then when life continues on, when things begin difficult, when life becomes challenging, within about a year, then it seems like attendance will fall off. Why is it when children are young, you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're so quick to respond and say, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a barber. I want to be a hairdresser. There's so many things that they want to be. But if you were to go by to high school today and talk to the seniors, the ones who are about to graduate, and you say, what is it that you want to do? Over 50% do not know what it is that they want to pursue in life. 50%, the ones who are going to college, they're going to college, but they don't know what they want to major in. The ones who are not going to college, they don't know what they want to do with their lives. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you don't set some goals, and if you don't strive for some things in life, you will become a part of a club that's called the Give Up Club. And in this Give Up Club, the Give Up Club got some cliques in it. And you all know what cliques are. It's a group within a group who got their own personal agenda. And so in the Give Up Club, it got some cliques in it. In the Give Up Club, it got some preachers who have given up on their church. In the Give Up Club, it got some smart and intelligent people who have given up on promising careers. In the Give Up Club, you got some parents who have given up on their children. In the Give Up Club, you got some husband and wives who have given up on their marriages. In the Give Up Club, you got some Christians who have given up on God. And not only have they given up on God, but they have allowed life to cause them to give up on their faith. And so when we go back to the story about Elijah, and to get the full effect of Elijah, you need to go back and read 1 and 2 Kings. This was a prophet that was used mightily by God. Elijah done some miraculous things. Before in chapter 19, when you go back and read chapter 18, you'll find that this widow woman's son had died. And she went to Elijah, and the word of God said that Elijah took the child and he laid himself across the child three times. And he said that he had enough within him, the power of God, that he called out on God. And he said, God, restore the soul to this child. And God resurrected this little boy. Right. Even back in that day, that was a miracle. But could you imagine even today, if a child was to die here today, Pastor McGuire speaking over this child, and God resurrecting that child back from the dead. So we see where Elijah was a man who was tremendously used by God. But it came a time leading up to chapter 19 when God was tired of the people being halted between two opinions. God said that people are going to have to decide if they're going to serve me or if they're going to serve Baal, who is a pagan god. So when it came time, God told Elijah, he said, you're fishing to have to prove who I am. And so he told him to go to Mount Carmel. And there was a showdown on Mount Carmel. It said that Elijah called the people who worship Baal, the priests who represented Baal. And he himself, he and God, was against the 450 prophets of Baal. And when the confrontation was over, God was proven to be the only true God. And when the people decided that they were going to follow God, the word of God said that Elijah instructed the people to kill all the priests that represented Baal. And that led us up to what you read today in 1 Kings chapter 19. When the king went back and he told Jezebel what Elijah had done, that's when she sent a message to Elijah and said, the gods can take my life if I don't take your life within the next 24 hours. Now, here we got Elijah. I'm confused about this. You got a man who was so connected to God, a man who God could use so mightily, but yet and still a man, when a woman said, I'm going to take your life, he ran for his life. A man whom God had used to speak life into another child. A man whom God has shown that I am the one who can speak life into a dead situation. A man who knew if he just thought about it. If she take my life, God can give it back to me. But yet and still, this man ran for his life, which goes to show me that baby Christians are not the only ones that get discouraged sometimes. Even the strong sometimes get weak. And so we find Elijah, he gets to a point to where he said, you know what, that's enough. I quit. How many times have we gotten to the point to where we have said, you know what, I quit. I can't pay all the bills, so I'm just not going to pay none of them. I quit. Husband ain't acting right. Wife ain't acting right. You know what? I give up on this marriage. I quit. You know what? I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of taking vitamins. I'm tired of eating salads. I'm tired of eating fruits and vegetables. Every time I go to the doctor, they give me another type of diagnosis. Guess what? I quit. I'm tired of fighting this. But God is saying this morning that he got a message for us in Romans 8:30, 8:31. And it says, if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? I was reading again about a prime minister from Great Britain, who was asked to speak to a graduating class. He was asked to address his class. And it said when he got up to speak to the class, he said these four words. Can you imagine an address with only four words? And he said, never, never, never quit. He knew that at that particular time in their life, they were getting ready to go out in the world. And they were getting ready to experience what life is all about. And life sometimes can make you want to quit. The word never means by no means, in no way, on no account. Quit means to abandon, leave, resign, to walk out on. And so this morning I'm saying by no means should we allow life to cause us to abandon the hopes and the dreams and the goals that God has placed inside of us. Why? Because as children of God, we know who holds the key to our success. Notice I didn't say keys, because as a child of God, there is only one key to our success. God holds that key, and that key is Jesus Christ. And so this morning I'm saying to you, never, never, never give up. Never give up on your church, because you know who holds the key to your success. Never give up on your marriage, because you know who holds the key to your success. Never give up on your children. You know who holds the key to your success. Never give up on your job situation. You know who holds the key to your success. Never get up on waiting on the move of God, because you know who holds the key to your success. Never give up on kicking that addiction, whatever it may be, drugs, alcohol, sex, food, whatever it is that controls you, whatever it is that draws you into living a life that doesn't line up with this word of God. Don't give up, because God holds the key to your success. Never give up on your education, because God holds the key to your success. You know, it used to be all you had to do was go to school for 12 years and obtain all your credits, and then you could get your high school diploma. But in the last few years, they've changed that to where now kids go to school, earn all their credits, and the teachers say they're smart enough to get their diploma, but because of this one test, if you don't pass this test, there are a lot of kids, and some of you may be victims of that have not obtained their high school diploma because they could not pass that exit exam. But you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought about different jobs that I have applied for. In any job that I have applied for, it asks, do you have a high school diploma or GED? So there is a way. And so this morning, I want to say never, never, never give up on your education, because God holds the key to your success. And you can go back to school. You can take that GED. And I don't think there's a limit on how many times you can take it before you can pass. And all you got to do is set that as a goal. And once you obtain that goal, you can go on forward with your life. Never give up on finishing college, because God holds the key to your success. Never give up on getting your home finance. If you're trying to get a new home and you've been turned down over and over and over again, don't give up. Don't give up on the hopes and dreams that you have for this life, because God holds the key to your success. But as a child of God, never give up on trusting God. Never give up on believing the promises that are in this book right here. Why? Because God holds the key to your success. But yet and still, the question is still out there. Why do people quit? Why do they go so far and they give up? And I was thinking about that. Why is it that a lot of people are quitters? Some people are quitters because they have a habit of doing that. They was raised in a family of quitters. They have friends that surround them that are quitters. They have mentors who are quitters. And you know, after so long, when you're in a certain environment, You find yourself adapting to that environment. And so you need to surround yourself with somebody who will encourage you to pursue the hopes and dreams that God has placed within you. And church is a good place to be, to get encouraged. Because when you come to church, one of the first things you'll find out is that, you know what? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. That is an encouraging word, and that is a true word, because it's one of God's promises from here in this Bible. Another reason that people quit is because of low self-esteem. You got some people who have a very low opinion of themselves. I don't care how good you tell them they look, they find something ugly to say about themselves. Then some people, they quit because of fear of rejection. They haven't been taught how to look at things in a positive way. You got an 8-ounce glass, and because it got 4 ounces of water in it, some people see it as half empty. But then the positive person see it as half full. And so you got to look at rejection in a different way. Some people look at it as if it's failure. But the smart person will look at rejection and say, you know what? It's courage. It's courage, because if you never got out there and tried, you would never have the opportunity to get rejected. And then you got some people who have the mentality of the fox, of the story that I talked about earlier. They really want to accomplish something, but because it's beyond their reach, they pretend like they never wanted it anyway. And so this morning, God just sent me to give you some encouraging words to encourage the church, because when I look out and I look at everybody, we got so many young people in our congregation. And when you got young people, you got young and fresh ideas. You got young and fresh dreams. You got things that you're going to do that we didn't have the opportunity to do. Amen. One of the first things that I think about is college. You know, when I thought about going to college, you had to go to the classroom. Now everybody just about has a computer at home, and you can take online classes at home. Everything is so accessible to you now, and there's no reason to be a quitter. All you got to know is who you need to be connected to. Amen. And so God wants you to know this morning that he wants you to pursue those hopes and dreams that are inside of you. It's too easy to sit down and give up and not do anything. You know, anybody can do that. And if that's what you're doing, you're not doing something that nobody else can do. But you want to do something different. Don't you know you have that desire placed inside of you for a reason? Don't you know you have a desire to do this and that for a reason? God has placed that inside of you, and God wants you to pursue those areas in your life. All right. In 3 John, it doesn't have any chapters, it just have one chapter, and then in verse 2 it said, God desired that we may prosper and be in good health. Amen. It is God's desire that we be successful. Amen. You know, maybe you never had anybody to tell you that God wants you to be somebody, but it is God's desire that we be successful. You know, if God didn't want us to be somebody, why should we even be connected to a powerful God? He has the power to do everything. And so, and he does that through us. Why would he have all of that power and want us to serve him and want us to believe in him and not share some of that wealth and power. This morning, God has given me five things, if you have pens and paper. God has given me five things, five principles I'll call them, to succeeding. Five principles to achieving your goals. And one of them is grow up and take ownership. In other words, take ownership of the direction that your life is going in. Tell yourself, you know what? I can do it. Encourage yourself. Sometimes we depend on other people to encourage us. And God is saying, when you know God, you got the right. And it's not thinking too much of yourself. You got the right to encourage yourself. So take ownership. Number two, be patient. Be patient and seek God's guidance. Because sometimes, you know, when you study the Bible, you'll find that time wasn't made for God. Time was made for man. Amen. And so God is going to do things in his time. And his timing is always perfect. When it's done how God wanted to do, it'll just fall right in place. Amen. But if you try to force it, then you're going to come up against opposition. Amen. So be patient. Wait on God. Pray to God. Talk to God. But if it hadn't happened in a week or two, don't think it's not going to happen for you. Trust God. Know that God loves you and he's not going to leave you out there high and dry. Third thing, expect difficulty. A lot of times we don't tell people that enough. Expect difficulty. When you live in this life, that things are going to be difficult. Amen. Stuff happens. And different things happen to different people. And so don't go into this life or don't go into your hopes and dreams thinking that it's going to always be easy. We have always told our children growing up, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Amen. And so it's not going to be easy. So you got to seek direction from God, but expect difficulty. Amen. Number four, plan for distractions. Know that the devil is not happy with you making a positive move. And he's going to try to keep you distracted because he's proud of the fact that you're in the Give Up Club. Amen. And he wants to keep his club going. He wants to keep his club energized. Yeah. And so how do a Christian plan for distractions? They plan by staying prayed up. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Amen. Even in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Paul was talking about praying. There's no other way to communicate with God other than through prayer. And you got to keep that connection going with God so that you'll be able to divert those distractions when they come along. Amen. And then five, maintain. When you have set a goal and you reach it, maintain. Don't regress. All right. Don't go back. Amen. If you are an alcoholic and you set a goal that I'm going to go without drinking for 2 months, when you have accomplished that 2 months, don't go celebrate at Chili's with a drink and set yourself back. Right. I mean, some people do that. You think now because you went 2 months without a drink that now you're strong enough that you can handle it. You would never be able to handle it. And so what you celebrate is your success by setting an even farther goal. Yeah. I made it 2 months. Now I'm going to try to make it six. Yeah. But don't go back. Maintain. When you accomplish something, maintain. If you set a goal to lose 50 pounds, once you've lost that 50 pounds, don't go back to eating the way that you did before you lost the weight. Because you're going to gain that 50 pounds plus more back. Studies show that. And so maintain. But as a Christian, our number one goal should be to have a healthy relationship with God. Amen. And you know, when I look at those five principles for reaching your goals, I look at those five principles for accomplishing your hopes and your dreams, those same five principles will help you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today would be a good day to do so. Amen. But if you haven't accepted him, I dare you to apply these five principles. If you have accepted him and things ain't going right, apply these five principles. Take ownership. Tell yourself that, you know what? I choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. I choose to believe that Jesus died for my sins. I choose to believe that, you know what, I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And you know what? I can do this. I can do this. Number two, be patient. Know that when you walk out that door, things are not going to change just like that. You know, the thing that go along with patience is another P word, and it's process. It takes a process that you have to go through before you can see this change. But if you stick with it, if you be patient, the process will happen.
Amen.
Number three was expect difficulty. Know that it's not going to be easy. Because you know what? Anytime there is a war, it's not an easy time. It's a dividing time. And know that a war is going to go on between the spirit and the flesh. And so you got a war that's fixing to take place. When you decide that this is your goal, to have the right relationship with Jesus Christ, you got a war that's fixing to break out. So expect difficulty. Plan for distractions. What did we say about planning for distractions? Stand prayed up. Constantly talk to God about what you're going through. Constantly stay and communicate with God. Sometimes we think, we said this morning, that the only time you can pray is when you get on your knees at night. But that's not the only time you can pray. You can pray in the morning. Daniel prayed three times a day. But I tell you, you can pray more often than that. You can pray in the break room. You can pray in the bathroom. You can pray when you're going to lunch. You can pray when you're driving along. You can pray anytime. There is no wrong or right way to pray. Only thing, you got to have a humble heart. You got to be sincere when you go to God. And so pray to God. Plan for those distractions. And then maintain. Maintain. You have decided that you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've taken ownership. And so now you say, I've been going to church every Sunday. It's been 2 months. Keep going. Don't think now because you've been going 2 months you can miss a Sunday. Because all it takes is one Sunday missed. And then the next thing you know, you'll become comfortable with missing. But maintain. Okay, so now I've come to church every Sunday. I reached that goal. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to add Bible class. After you add Bible class, add Sunday school. Maybe don't take too much at one time because maybe it'll be too overwhelming. But I just dare you to set some small goals, some mini goals. Reach those goals. Just like my grandson, he didn't think he could work the puzzle, but once he learned how to work it, then he felt good about himself. And so now when he comes over, he wants the more complicated puzzle to put together. When you start accomplishing those dreams a little bit at a time, it'll make you feel good about yourself. And then you'll find yourself setting bigger goals so that you can do better. And you'll realize, you know what? I can do this. All because you followed those principles. I was reading in the Bible this parable about the unfruitful tree. And it said that this certain man had an unfruitful tree. And that for 3 years, he would go to the tree and it wouldn't have any figs on it. And he told the gardener, he said, cut the tree down because it's not any good. But the gardener said, don't cut the tree down. Allow me to fertilize it and dig around it. And then we can see if it'll produce fruit. And if it don't produce fruit after then we can cut it down. And I said that to say this. Don't give up on yourself. Allow God to do something for you. We are that unfruitful tree. He has given Jesus Christ as our personal Savior to die for our sins. Accept that. We are that unfruitful tree. Jesus is the gardener. He's the one who said, you know what? I'll go and I'll die for him. He said, but then after I die for him, they got a choice. They can accept or they cannot accept. And so it's the same way, just like the tree. You know, after he fertilized the tree and do everything that he can for the tree, then it's up to the tree to produce the fruit. It's the same way with us. Jesus have died for our sins. Now it's up to us to accept the fact that he died for us. And if we want to go to heaven and get that gift of eternal life, it's up to us. And so as I get ready to take my seat this morning, hopefully I haven't been up too long. Didn't want to bore you. But I just wanted to, You all just don't know your potential. And you really, you as young people, you don't know your potential with Jesus Christ on your side. And there are so many things that you all can accomplish as young people. If you're in a dead situation in life, you don't have to be there. You just don't have to be there. You know, a lot of people didn't get, when I was growing up, a lot of people didn't get it at your age. When we were your age, what you all are getting now. I think that you all get a better understanding of the word, because now you got the New Living Translation that don't have all those these, thuses, and those, and you can kind of understand what it's talking about. And to me, when you understand something, then you can apply it to your life. And so you all have the potential to do so much. You just don't have to live in a dead situation, because that's not what God made us for. He said, you know what? If something is going on you can't handle, cast your cares upon me.
Amen.
That's something. When you understand the word of God and you realize how good God takes care of us, It is just so awesome. Like they sung, he's just an awesome God. And so when things are going to, you get to a point to where you can't handle it, cast your cares upon the Lord. You don't have to worry about it. I've learned not to worry about the things that I can't control. If you're searching for a job and nobody will hire you, it's your responsibility to go and look for a job. God got to open the door. You can't worry about the people who won't hire you. God is going to open that door for you. And it's like that in every area of your life. You realize that you just don't have to worry. All you got to do is trust. Trust in God and follow these five principles. And so as I get ready to take my seat this morning, I just like to challenge you guys to take ownership of your life. And follow those principles and allow God to grow and be an example to somebody else so that you can and keep those five principles so you can tell somebody else how you grew. Keep those five principles so that you can use them as a testimony, as you can use them as a tool, a conversation tool with somebody else to tell them how you grew, how you advanced in life. Amen? Amen. So let me end by saying, may God add a blessing to the readers and the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his holy word. Never, never, never quit.
Amen. What a word today. Amen. Never, never, never. Never, ever give up. Never quit. Amen. I believe every individual in this place was blessed this morning. Without a shadow of a doubt. Amen. We know that, God is just so awesome. And I'm not going to say anything else. You got it. It's plain as day.